This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Hello and welcome to the show, It's Health News Digest, with me, Tina Camellia, alongside Tisha Eek. On the show this week, transplantation. A 7-year-old boy underwent a 5-organ transplant in the UK, but before that,
keeping donated livers alive with a machine prior to transplant boosts the chances of a successful operation. And for our second story, we'll be talking about the man with 3 faces.
That's what we have lined up this hour. Here's Bruce Springsteen with 2 Faces, BFM 89.9.
I met a girl and we ran away. I swore I'd make her happy every day. And how I made her cry. 2 faces apart. Sometimes, mister, I feel sunny and wild. Oh, Lord, I love to see my baby smile. And dark clouds come rolling by. 2 faces apart. One lives, one cries. One says hello, one says goodbye. One just things I don't understand. Makes me feel like half a man. At night I get down on my knees and pray. Our love will make that other man go away. But it'll never say goodbye. Last night as I kissed you beneath the willow tree, he swore he'd take your love away from me. He said our life was just a lie. 2 faces apart. We'll go ahead and live and try.
That was Bruce Springsteen with 2 faces, because we are talking about the man with 3 faces later in the hour. But first, we're going to talk about how keeping livers alive can boost transplant success. What does that really mean? Because we typically think of an organ or a liver transplant to already involve a living liver, no?
Oh,
apparently not.
Yeah, so the word alive is obviously in, you know, quote marks. It is the use of a machine to ensure that the liver is kept at normal body temperature and is still functioning and carrying out all the usual things that it usually does before it is transplanted into the recipient's body. So this was actually a trial by a large group of researchers for an organization called the Consortium for Organ Preservation in Europe. They studied 222 liver transplants in 7 European centers, where they looked at livers that were first preserved in an ice box. That's the conventional method,
right?
And keeping them cold. And compared them with those kept warm and alive outside the body using what they had invented, was a normothermic perfusion machine. And they found that the livers that were kept alive had 50% less tissue damage. And that is actually a key marker of how likely the organ is to survive, as well as how well the transplant patient will do after the surgery is carried out. And this is considered a landmark trial because it is the first to provide robust evidence for the benefits of perfusion. Before we go into how perfusion works, let's look at the a normal conventional method of preserving livers in ice. We will be hearing from Dr. Garrett Roll, who's the Assistant Professor of Surgery in the University of California, San Francisco, which is also one of the centers that is working on perfusion machines.
So we're comparing this to cold storage. So the basics of cold storage is that, well, we know from years of experience that it's very injurious to liver allografts and other organs as well. It's tolerated by livers from young brain-dead donors and non-fatty and livers that are not steatotic. But it's not tolerated well by older livers or steatotic livers or livers from DCD donors. We know that from years of experience. We know that cold ischemia time plus a marginal liver allograft has a high risk for primary nonfunction and early allograft dysfunction. And those are major, major problems.
I always thought liver transplants are pretty common amongst most of the organ transplantations that are being done. I mean, let's say compared to face transplants.
Well, yes.
Livers, or kidneys, I think.
Liver, kidney,
the
heart,
ones.
Lung, I guess, ranks slightly lower down because of the complexity of... But you're right, yes. Liver, kidneys are among the most common ones carried out.
And so this is pretty much taking it one step further in ensuring the success of transplantation techniques. Why was it not thought of before? Because isn't it
logical?
Yes,
it does seem,
keep your organs in body temperature range.
Yes, it does actually.
So why an ice box?
And you know, when I was watching the YouTube video where this Dr. Garrett Rohl presented on the perfusion technology, he literally showed the picture of an ice box, a cooler box that, you know,
you bring to a picnic.
Correct. You put your drinks in, which seems very primitive. I mean, I'm sure there are clever people out there who have gone through this thought process. But you're right. It's the fact is about a third of donated livers turn out to be not usable for transplantation. A lot of them, by the nature of organ donation, I suppose, a lot of them come from elderly people or those who have passed on due to poor health, you know. And these are the livers which are more likely to fail. And these are the livers that are more likely to sustain damage when they are removed from the donor's body as well as when they are kept in the cold conditions. The thing is also there's been no technology before this, no reliable method of assessing organ viability before the operation. So, in fact, what you have is you take the risk. You first assess, you look at the patient's medical state. You assess the donor's medical state. You assess whether that liver would be viable or not. And you basically take a risk by putting it in the recipient's body because you actually have no way of being able to tell whether the damage sustained during the cold procedure will make it viable in the recipient's body.
So why are so many donated livers not usable? Or why aren't other potential donors approached? We'll hear it from Dr. Garrett Rohl.
About 6,300 of the 8,100 livers that were procured for transplant in the United States and countless other potential donors are never even approached because we presume that their risk of primary nonfunction is going to be too high. Between organs being offered and actually organs being retrieved for transplant, you lose about 60% of donors during that step. And again, that's because the recipient surgeon thinks that those organs are going to be too high risk for primary nonfunction or early allograft dysfunction. Then after the organ is procured, you lose another 15% or so, again, primarily for the same concerns. So the question is, how can we increase that number and utilize those organs that are currently not being utilized?
Okay, so let's come back to this perfusion machine. I suppose technologically it is a lot more complex than an ice box you can buy from a Tesco or...
I'm not actually sure if they just use the ice box alone.
Well, that you said he like showed
it. I know,
that.
That's what he showed. Not having been in, you know, the operating theatre when this is carried out, I can only rely on that. But yes, you're right. The perfusion machine, the technology is far more complex because it involves being able to maintain the body temperature of the liver, blood circulation, and they are also constantly monitoring whether the liver is, let's say, producing bile and all the other functions that it normally does in the body. And in this particular trial that we're looking at, the perfusion machine was invented by scientists from the University of Oxford But across the UK and US, there are a lot of other researchers also working on the same kind of technology. They include Cleveland Clinic, University of California, where Dr. Garrett Rowe is from. So let's listen to him explaining how exactly a perfusion machine works.
So what is liver perfusion? Well, it's an alternative to cold storage. We take the liver and we put it on this device that has a closed circuit, and we perfuse the liver with packed red blood cells. It maintains the liver at normal body temperature, and it's oxygenated blood flowing through the liver, and it supplies the liver with nutrients and medications. It's basically a near physiologic environment for the liver, which is, you know, it makes our cold storage look extremely clunky, as you can imagine. So how does it actually work? Well, at the donor hospital, the liver is procured from the deceased donor in the standard fashion, and then it's put on ice for a very short amount of time where it's prepared to be put on the machine, and that takes about 30 to 45 minutes. So that 30 to 45 minutes while the liver is being prepared is the extent of the cold time if the liver is going to go on the device, as opposed to 6 to 15 hours of cold time if the liver is going to be put on ice in the traditional cold storage fashion. It can perform another function as well, which has been termed viability testing, which allows you to test the viability or the function of the liver while it's on the device rather than transplanting it into a recipient and then determining whether or not it's going to work. So viability testing, I think, is probably the most important function of normothermic liver perfusion.
Again, because of its complexity, it could also be pretty expensive and logistically challenging.
Yes.
Because it's not just an icebox that you can buy from the dollar
and
shop.
And you could carry it around. That's right. And, you know, maybe in Malaysia, the logistics are less challenging in the sense that we have fewer centralized transplant centers. So, you know, you're talking about investing in a small number of these machines. But you're right, it will be expensive. And we are only looking at really the first large-scale trial to show the evidence that comparing between cold procedure and the perfusion procedure. We will need to see more studies coming out on whether the viability testing is really effective and cost effective as well.
But in Malaysia, what's the organ donation rate like?
So this is from a report sometime last year. There are just a little over 20,000 people, including those in the final stages of organ failure, currently on the waiting list for transplants. Kidney patients rank the highest, significantly high. 21,759 of them were kidney patients. Only 8 were liver patients.
Wow. So this is like 99.5% of the
That's right. And if you think about it, obviously kidney disease is massive in Malaysia due to largely contributed by diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have also 4 heart disease patients, 3 lung patients, another 4 in urgent need of both lung and heart transplants. So we are really, really urgently in need of kidney donors, for one. And currently, we have just a little over 400,000 organ donors. Although it sounds like a lot, but it only represents 1.3% of our population, if you think about it. So really, we could use with a lot more people coming forward to pledge their organs. And we also have a message here from Datin Dr. Leila Yasmin. This was from an interview with her a few years ago. So at that time, she was Chief National Donor Coordinator and Procurement Manager from the National Transplant Resource Center. And here is her plea to everyone regarding organ donation.
Look after your organs, for heaven's sake. Because if we look after our organs well, cut out that smoke, no smoking, huh? Cut out that sugar and cut out all that, so many of our patients actually end up with fatty liver. Mm. And our donor that we opened up, we couldn't take the liver.
See?
So
that as well contributes.
So it the thing is, if we look after our organs, one, we reduces the need, the burden for more donors. And secondly, when you die, pass them on.
And when we come back, we'll learn more about the Frenchman who gets a third face in a new transplant. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. the business station.